Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can come together today. Lord, open our mind to your word. Lord, that we may not just be hearers of it, but may become doers of it, Lord. And so fulfill your plan for us. We just praise you and thank you. And give you all the honor and glory to you, Lord, for what you're going to do even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if we don't actually apply the word that we hear, James says that we are deceiving ourselves. And we are not going to be able to make the progress and get the result that the Lord would like us to have. And so, you know, the very important thing for us is to be able to make that connection with the truth that is in the Word and to know what to do with it. We have been talking about, you know, the work in our heart of God in transforming us and empowering us. And this is really the most practical thing that we should discover what to do with the word. Because everything that God does in us is through the work that he does in our heart. The heart is the gatekeeper of what we can receive. And we, what, you know, allowing the things that we allow in to come in. And we have to really understand how God works. Because sometimes that's a place in which we come short because we have got religious ideas. And we think we have to go through formulas. And we think we have to, you know, function in a way that has been done for many years and is nothing else than traditional man. And God has given us some things for us to use properly. But everything that God gives, there is a purpose. And he wants to achieve that purpose. But if we don't understand God's purpose, then we can use the things that he gives us, instead of doing it, you know, for our advantage, it comes to our disadvantage. And one of the things that he has given us is free will. And that is one of the most important things and the most critical things in understanding how to use our free will according to God's way and not according to our way. That one makes all the difference because God doesn't look just at what we say or just at what we do, but he looks at the intention, the purposes, the things. He looks at the heart to determine how you have to interpret and understand what comes out of you. What the results of your life are depending on your heart. It says very clearly in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 and the following, you know, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. We've been talking about that, and I often, you know, talk about the heart, but this is a topic that generally not many people talk about because they are just not understanding the way God works. If God looks at the heart, I would say we should learn to look at the heart too to see if what God sees. Does it make sense? I mean, he looks at us, but doesn't just look at that. He judges us according to our heart. So you can do all the different activities the religions call you to do. And get absolutely zero result in terms of intervention of God in your life and getting positive things in your life. But getting only in bondage, more bondage than you had before because you are trying to do things, you know, in a legalistic way without having the understanding that God wants you to have. I'm going to put my glasses on. I still need them sometime. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 7, verse 17, says something that is so important, so fundamental for us to understand and to connect with the heart. Says there, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know in concerning the doctrine where it is from God or where I speak my own authority. I should read that again because this is such an important thing. People say, well, I don't understand what the Bible is saying. Well, it says give you the secret for you to understand what the Bible is saying. If you will what this will is, I mean, if your will lines up with God's wills, then you should understand and you should receive what God is saying in his word. Otherwise, forget it. You are not going to get it. And you are going to say, well, I don't understand anything. Or believing that you understand and believing nonsense because it doesn't work. Are you following what I'm saying? Here, give us, you see, this is a very practical scripture. Okay, it should guide us in understanding how we should operate so that we can connect with God and be able to hear, receive. You know, otherwise, he said, God doesn't speak, never speak to me. Well, your ears are plugged. Because he speaks to us all the time. Every time, you know, continuously all the time. But lots of people say, oh, God told me, and it's not God, it's just their own ideas, their own will that is manifested. That's the typical things that happens to false prophets. And we have to learn to recognize that. So how we can know, you know, how we get spiritual revelation and wisdom from God. Not because, you know, we want to be successful, but because our will is submitted to his will. God is not interested just in making you succeed. God is interested in success. The valuation of success is not the way the world gives. It's according to his way. When we follow his way, we are successful in the things we do, and it's not necessarily from the worldly point of view. Doesn't mean you're going to make money, doesn't mean you are going to have all the things that the world has. I don't see the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter going around in a golden chariot. I'm going to those days. You know, they didn't have Porsche or other things. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, the opposite. Okay, so this is, you know, your own will, how your own will is aligned, is critical to be able to connect with God. And to be able to align your will with God's will, you have to know God's will. Otherwise, you can't align to something that you don't. There is no reference. And the reference is given to us very clearly in the Word of God. Not only that, but it's given us the example of, you know, the way the disciples did and the way Jesus did when he was on earth. So we have all the information we need to adjust our will to God's will. And to be able to connect with him so that we are going to receive the information that we need for direction. See, we cannot make decisions that are wise and decisions that are right just according to our own ideas and the things that we learn from school or whatever. Because those are things that are going to be things that are fleshy, that are worldly, and are not really what the Word of God says to do. See, the world is the opposite or turn around completely with respect to the Word of God. And you know, if we are talking about understanding the way God works in our heart, we are talking about one of the most important things, and it's not just theory. It's not just, you know, interesting to know discussion. This is vital information to be able, and not just the information, but vital application in our life to be able to make the progress and the development in our life that God wants us to have. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not just theory. We have to start applying these things. We start recognizing, you know, what they mean and to put them to work. Now I'm going to try to do that, not just preaching about it, but actually, you know, trying to help you to connect with those truths and ministering that way. You need to do that yourself. It's not going to happen just because you hear a message. Okay? So the important thing is what your will is. You know, what your will is what you're really seeking. Your purpose. Okay? The following verse is expanding on the concept. It said, he who speaks from himself, seek his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, who is true, and his no unrighteousness is in him. See how you know, basic and important this is, you know, what do we seek, what we want, what we go after is the thing that makes the difference about if our will is aligned up with God or not. And so, you know, we had to find out the things that God give priorities and, you know, instruction that he give us and align up our will with those things. That means we had to want those things, not just be exposed and, you know, get it on Sunday morning and go out and forget it. Doesn't do any good. That's just fooling yourself, because there is not going to produce any result. You know, on Sunday, maybe, you know, just with a word of encouragement, you can feel more encouraged. But after, you're going to be more depressed because you're not going to see any of the things that are promised manifested in your life. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. So seeking whose glory you are seeking. Who want, you see, I mean, you see, the word glory is just sometimes too religious for us to connect with. Okay. What is your glory? It's when you get the things you want and, you know, and you are feeling exalted and you're feeling good. Well, he says, you know, who are seeking your glory, or is the glory of him who sent Jesus? See, because God is not looking after your glory. I've been teaching, you know, the doctrine of God on Thursday night, and not everybody's coming there, but the thing is, that's changing the mentality of lots of people, you know. I mean, the idea that people have God is so religious and antiquated that doesn't really reflect at all what the Word of God says. And unless we see God the way he is, we are not connecting with him. The only way that you can connect with another person is you understand that person and you relate to them in a way that, you know, is meaningful. But if you don't know somebody and you say all the wrong thing, you know, you're not going to get any connection, any relationship there. Now, God is not there to correct, you know, to change you. It is just, you just hear what you want. praise the Lord. Or say, ouch, you know, whatever. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You see, that's what we seek. Not what pleases us is the important thing. The thing is, when we seek the right thing, we are also going to be pleased. Not in a worldly way, but in a spiritual way, because we know that God is with us and supporting us and empowering us to do things that are extraordinary, that are beyond the physical, beyond what we can do in our own abilities. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, that's how we can redirect. See, talking about application here, okay? I'm dealing with application more than I described some of the theory before. I want to try to get more into the nitty-gritty of what it means to actually connect with this truth. Okay? If we, you know, want to really connect with God, we have to address our will. Our will is connected to our heart because our heart determines the things that we value. So what we value, we want. Okay. But if we value wrong things like idols, you know, like money or other things, you know, that are not the things that we should value most. I mean, yeah, it's just don't waste, throw away, be stupid with money because you're never going to be able to manage very well. You have to be wisdom in the way all the things are used in your life. If you don't have the wisdom, you're going to suffer. And wisdom is nothing else than knowing what to do concerning specific things. And the world doesn't have it. The only wisdom that counts is the wisdom of God that produces the fruit that he wants us to have. So, you know, I'll give you an example, okay, or application of this. You know, the way Jesus connected with his disciples. Okay. You remember when Jesus started his ministry, he went around, and what did he do? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 39, said, and then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. I mean, that was a pretty straightforward, clear instruction. He wasn't begging them. He wasn't doing anything. He was telling, making a statement and seeing what was going to happen. And what happened? Okay. They immediately left the nets and followed him. You see, that shows something. I mean, they were fishermen. That was their money-making business. Okay, the way they were surviving. And God, you know, Jesus himself spoke to them, telling them, come on, drop the net. I will fish you, teach you to fish the right stuff. Are you following me? And they weren't there thinking, maybe I should, maybe I should not. Maybe he's calling me, maybe he's not calling me. That is very clear. And they responded. And who became his disciples, his first 12 disciples? The people that responded. Did he said that only to them? I don't know. Maybe he said that to many others, but the other ones scratched their head and said, I don't know if I can. The Bible doesn't say everything about everything. It just says what you need to know. Okay? I start to think, really, that he just went around and was saying that aloud. Come, follow me. And some people are shaking their head, you know, this guy. What did he drink or what did he smoke? Okay? And they got that as a result. Praise God. Okay, and immediately they left. Immediately. They are there waiting, considering, thinking, maybe it's convenient, maybe it's not convenient. You know, they saw him, they heard him, they saw what he was doing, and I just made the decision right on the spot. But you know, that's not enough. That's just the beginning. See, that's connected with free will. That's why I said, you know, the thing in the topic there, God has given us free will. Because it's through our free will, the way we use our free will, that He assess and evaluate us and respond to us. Because what we do with our free will is what counts and what determines our result. You know, Jesus gave some parables. And I'm not going to go through them because I want to cover some topic. I want to pull out some ideas, some concept from that. You know, the parable of the workers of the vineyard. Do you remember? You know, they started there during the day. People were going to work there. And then at the end of the day, you know, he was paying the same. He's paying according to, you know, what they, the people that got there at the last moment got the same as the others. Or the others that are stuck with doing it. See? God, that shows one of God's principles. It doesn't matter what you respond now. What matters is at the end of your road where you are. Do I have to say it again? You see, what counts to God is the moment in which He passed the judgment on you. And that is when you go to Him and says, have you answered? What is your will? Are you will with me or not? It's the fact that, you know, maybe 20 years before, you were all excited because you accepted the Lord and then you lost Him on the way, doesn't do any good whatsoever to you. That's what He's telling us. Not only once, twice. Okay? The parable of the wedding feast was exactly the same thing. Okay? And what he's saying, what is coming after. The thing he said in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the chosen? The one that had the wedding dress at the end when the feast was taking place. Okay? So, the time that counts is to be not just making a decision and then forget it, or be carried away by other things and other desire, is just to grow closer to Him so that we are committed to the end. That's why, you know, the idea of once saved, always saved is complete garbage. It's a deception that came from wrong understanding of the way God works. What we need to do is to hold on, hold fast to the faith that we had till the very end. But if our wills are scattered, we are not going to get there. There are going to be things that are going to distract us from our purpose, from God's purpose for us, because God has a purpose for you that He established before the foundations of the world, in which He determined the way, what you are going to have and how you are going to be, so that you can achieve the God purpose in your life that He has designed for you. It's not random. The degree in which you are going to be successful in doing that is the degree according to which you submit your will to God and not to other things. And you can say, well, this is a tough message. Oh, absolutely. I mean, salvation is expensive for Jesus. And you get it, you know, apparently easily, but it's not easy. Because you can be fooled yourself about having it, but doesn't mean necessarily that you do. What counts is that you are able to hold on to the end. That's the truth. That's what Jesus showed many times. Praise the Lord. For, you know, for many are called, but few are chosen. He calls everybody. He created everybody to follow him. But, you know, even Christians, how many actually are following him and are just playing church? So we have to understand those things, okay? Okay. So the point is that, you see, there is your will is very important. According, if you start, you know, looking at the heart, people is get all confused and everything else. And, you know, it's a topic that, you know, the heart is at last deep water, Proverbs says, because people can just see it. But if you start looking at your will and what the way you value, you should be able to get a better understanding of where your heart is. Okay? And, you know, one of the things that God respect and never interfere with it is your will. He doesn't push you to do anything. He calls you. And you hear this call, you just, your ears are open. And you stick with your call if your ear, your will lines up with that. And you can grow in it. Okay? And you can develop it more. And we can get closer to him. Okay? But the thing is, God will respect your will all the time. Will never push. God does not manipulate people. Demons do. That's the way they function. God respect your will because that's the way you're going to judge you. And that's what determines, and that's depending on you. So he's given you complete free choice. You choose it. You choose the right thing. You're going to get blessed. You don't choose the right thing. You do not get blessed. The opposite. You know, for example, in Philemon chapter 1, you know, it says, therefore, is Paul, he is speaking, but Paul speaks in here, you know, as a reflection of God's position. It says, therefore, I thought I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, what you have to do. Yet, for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and also now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. That your good deed may be not by the compulsion, but it were voluntary. See, that attitude that Paul had is the attitude that anybody that stands for Paul, for God, should be having. Any minister that tries to manipulate you to do certain things is not working with God, is working with the enemy and putting you under bondage. And unfortunately, many don't understand that that's the way it is. And they may even not do it consciously, but they do it because of ignorance. God's position is very clear about these things. Okay. We have free will. God will has all the power and all the wisdom and has given each person free will. Okay. And God respects that as the most important part for connecting with him. Having free will doesn't mean that you can do whatever you like. Okay. And then whatever you do, there are no consequences of what you do. Because even though we have free will, we must give account for any choice we make. That is simply the truth. That's what the word shows. That's what Jesus said. That's what the scripture repeats over and over. That is nothing else than the law of sowing and reaping. Okay. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I mean, you cannot say more clearly than that, wouldn't you say? Okay, that means we are accountable for any choice or any decision or any action that we do. And there are the scripture I read last week and the week before, they were saying exactly the same thing. Okay? And we don't just can't run on the script off on the scripture that we don't like and just to take the one we like. Okay, we have to take everything, mix it up, and accept it. And you know, actually, some of the things I was talking about God, you know, God doesn't tell us everything because we cannot handle everything. We are finite beings. God is infinite. So we are never going to understand fully God. But he's going to tell us something, and some things he's going to, you know, show us and explain. Other things he's not going to explain. And we have to take that because he said it, if we like it or not. But that, from the way we respond, he knows our attitude and our position. When that is really expressed, confirmed, and shown in the scripture and the behavior of the early church, then that becomes clear. We cannot understand everything. We cannot judge God. That's the principle that we have to understand. If you try to judge God, what we are doing is putting ourselves in a higher position than he has. Okay? And that seems to speak for problems. Okay, so, do not be deceived. Whatever you man sow, he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of his flesh reap corruption. I'm going to expand on that in a minute. But he who sows to the Spirit will to the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, it doesn't say that you are working to have everlasting life. It doesn't say all these things. It says simply that, you know, the things that you sow, you go around, okay, and what you do is what you sow. You go around, you do things according to what you want. Okay? And that is the factor that God is going to judge, because he's not going to just judge your action. He knows what's going on. He knows why you do the things you do. Okay? So, the idea is that the flesh produces or reap corruption. So just automatically, you know, like the plant, when you plant it, you don't have there to be there pushing it all the time to produce anything. You know, just at the right time, with the right weather, you get it. Okay? And when the same thing, at the right time, what you do is going to produce results. You may not see them immediately. Okay? Just like plants, it takes time to produce. Actually, you'll be able to see and discern. But, you know, it says talk about corruption. It doesn't stop talking about just a mistake. It doesn't talk about just, you know, sin. He's talking about the corruption involves something that is corrupting. Like a dead body that rots and become more and more stinky and corrupted. So that's the result. I mean, you cannot go in that route and think that it's going to be just, okay, you know, I'm going to fix it. Oh, well, you know, later on, I'm going to repent and everything. You know, I remember when I was good, I wasn't a believer at that time. I was at the university in Rome, and I had this friend of mine, and, you know, what he said, well, you know, that's okay. You know, I'm going to do what I am to God, then I repent, I confess, and I'm forgiven. And I wasn't a believer. I said, you know, that's a really stupid thing to think. Why? Because it's not just not true, but, you know, once you go into that direction, you reap corruption. That means, you know, the things, it doesn't stop there, it keeps growing that way. Okay? Naturally, because you are on that path. Okay? So don't think that you have control over it after, you know, it's too late to fix it. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand. But if we sow to the Spirit, you know, reaps everlasting life. That means that the life of God is going to be in you, and He's going to empower you, He's going to give you life, He's going to give you direction, He's going to be understanding, He's going to bring everything that comes from God. See, that in His life, in Him, all the promises are yea and amen. Okay? So, you know, the same way as the corruption grows, is the same way the holiness grows. It's just not a question that you make a decision and that's, you write one thing. No, you made the right decision. You're on a momentum in moving in the right direction to be able to actually keep producing life, keep producing victory, keep producing the right result in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important to understand that it's not just actions are not just like that. There's an implication. There is a follow-up that takes place all the time. So, see, we have to understand, you know, we say, who sow to the flesh and who sow to the Spirit. Those are the two different ideas, okay? So you have to see what the sowing is nothing else than the walk you have, okay? The result you get. So to see what is the flesh or the Spirit. What the flesh is just according to your own desire, your own things. And the Spirit is according to the Word of God because that is where the Holy Spirit communicates to us. Okay, so it's very clear, okay, that what motivates our decision, okay, is critical. If it's the flesh or the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit." So set to mind is phroneo. It actually means to focus on, to have an attitude, to have a purpose. Okay? That means, you know, that what your purpose is, according to the flesh, according to the feelings, according to the all the things, that what you're going to be. Okay? And what it produces, so for the carnally minded, okay, the mind that is directed by the flesh, is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So that is really a good, helpful statement for us to help us to discern things. Okay, praise the Lord. Death there is thanatos, which actually, you know, means death, but it's not just talking here about spiritual death, because as physical death, but it's talking about spiritual death. Death. That means, you know, that means losing your salvation, losing your connection with God. That's what walking in the flesh does. No matter what anybody says. This is very clear. That's plain, it's plain expression. So, but if you're spiritually minded, I mean, if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, if you are guided by the Word of God, it is to produce, you know, what else? Is life, is peace, and life. So, we can see what's going on inside ourselves, okay? If we do experience peace or life, or are we going to be here in connection with God and we feel we are not connected? You know, if you're connected with God, you know it. Because your spirit, you know, witness to you the fact that you are connected. And one of the manifestations is going to be there is life and peace. But, you know, the ones that are not connected, may going to try to go around and say, "Oh, I'm connected, I'm connected, I'm connected," to convince himself, but doesn't do any good because that's just mental. Because they know the principle, and they are breaking it. So they are fooling themselves. Praise the Lord. Okay, so do we have peace today and life or condemnation and fear? Because that's the bottom line. Okay, and that's a good indication of your walk, of your choices. Okay, confessing that you have peace and stuff, and it's not, doesn't work. the word confession has nothing to do with your mouth, you know, has to do with homologeo, which means, you know, lining up inside with your heart. What you say and what you do and what you feel is lined up with the word of God. Otherwise, it's just a show. And God is not impressed by our shows. He's not impressed by our words. He's impressed by the Spirit, and in truth. That's the way to connect to Him. Praise the Lord. See this very clearly in Romans chapter 8, again verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, or make us free from the law of sin and death. So we are freeing from condemnation, freeing for, you know, but we have peace and life. The life that comes from the connection we have with Him. Hallelujah. Think the following verse, 8:6, 8:7. You know, we just jump a few scriptures around, but that's okay. You know, in Romans 8:7 says, you know, because the carnal mind, okay, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Enmity is extra, which means actually hostility. It means opposition, hate, okay, against God. So you can not mix it with God. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's very, you know, strong and clear. And that applies to our free will. You see, our free will gives us the opportunity to choose whatever we want. So in a way, it's good that we can choose the right thing. But it's not good because often we don't do that and we do the wrong thing and put ourselves in trouble. Okay, and this is the why God gave it to us. Because He has to reward us according to our position, according to the way what we want, our purpose. Is our purpose God's purpose, or our purpose is self-glory? Get what we want. That's what self-glory is. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord or ouch? Amen. Well, you don't need to. You see, that's the thing. It's not that difficult. It's just a question of understanding the truth and making the right choices. Don't go according to the feelings that we have, that those are the, you know, the way the enemy tries to push and make us look at things in the wrong way instead of looking at things the way the Word of God says. When we look at things the way the Word of God says, we are going to automatically choose the right thing. And so the only thing you have to do is to stay in the Word, meditate on the Word, think about the way God thinks, learn from Him and give Him the direction so that we have the wisdom to make the right choices. And when we make the right choices, we get the right result. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go back to very dearly what John says in John 3:6. What is born of the flesh. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Okay, so the result should be very clear. You know, we should be able, it's not a difficult thing to know what to do with God. It's very easy, actually. The thing is not, you know, to know. And other things is to do, because sometimes our feeling and our emotions are strong and make us make the wrong choices. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to read another one, just one scripture to bring to a landing this, okay? sometimes looking at the wrong thing and having the wrong feeling has effect on us, and so we end up making the wrong choices. Okay, but the Word of God says, you know, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Okay, so the idea is how losing heart is the problem. Being wanting things yesterday is the problem. It takes time to get the result that God promised. And unless we are patient, patience makes you stronger. Patience enables you to do what? Inherit the promises. Okay. So, you know, our patience makes all the difference. And if we start looking at the wrong thing all the time, you know, protect your heart with all diligence. We are not protecting our heart with all diligence, but we are letting the feeling, the emotion overcome, overrule us, and we end up making the wrong decision. And then the issues of life that come out, they're not that good. Okay. So understanding that, then we can start cooperating with God in and achieve what He promised to us, what He wants us to have. By what? By putting Him first. That's the secret. The scripture I read at the beginning of this message here is, you know, in my will, okay, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, concerning the right thing, concerning the wisdom, concerning what we need to have. Praise the Lord. I think I, you know, covered up for today, all the time. We are going to pray together. Okay. If what I said in any way or form witnessed to you, then you should know what you had to do. Okay. You either you know that you already were doing it, or you know, maybe there are some areas in which you had to readjust your will. Okay. And maybe not now. Maybe you today, and you know, right now you don't have a clue. Okay, how to apply to yourself. But you know, you receive what I heard if you were listening, okay. And that's going to be keep working in you. And that work in you is going to be manifesting maybe sometime that you walk on the street or drive in the car or try to go to bed to sleep and you can't, you know, pop in your mind some idea, oh my goodness, you know, that's fleshy. You know, I mean, the more we close to God, the more we grow closer to God, the more we realize that some of the things that we're thinking that were really good are really, really fleshy. And so we had to do something about them. Okay? And God is not there. You see, God understands our ignorance. This is what makes Him so much more kind and merciful toward us, because we know that we are but flesh. Okay? But He wants us to make some decisions so we become only nothing but flesh, but some spirit growing in us, some understanding, some wisdom, some knowledge, some, you know, righteousness developing in us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to pray. Okay? We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit may be who, if we accepted Jesus, you know, is inside us, okay, trying to communicate with us, you know, is going to bring to us some things that we need to consider. See, He calls, He doesn't push. And that's why you know, sometimes we are pushy. People are sometimes are pushy, you know, they don't understand that being pushy and being manipulating is not God's way. So if we are pushy, we are likely not like to be pushed around and so or and to listen to anybody because we know better. And we try to push others. No, we had to learn to listen and to say, yes, Lord, I got it. Explain it to me. You don't need to jump into anything. You need to respond in a rational, proper way, dealing with your feelings that are completely unreliable. Okay? And he will guide you into what? All truth. I mean, that's a big promise. That should encourage us that, okay, you know, anybody can make it because if they even started and they were imperfect in their starting, everybody is. So don't be surprised if you are not perfect. Unless you got that kind of doctrine that doesn't allow you to grow anymore. Okay? So you believe that you have potential because God put the potential inside you. God is desired to guide you more than sometimes we want to be guided. And so we are just to respond to, come and follow me and leave your net right there where they are. Praise the Lord. So we start with a prayer asking for help in that direction. Okay? Be willing to be willing. Amen? Amen? So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you made it possible for us to hear, to receive, to understand, and to grow in our relationship with you. Thank you that you are there to help us, not condemn us, but to guide us into all truth as we humble ourselves before you and we accept your truth, your word, your direction, and the peace that we will experience will pass all understanding. Thank you for your goodness. And we proclaim today that you are a good God. And we can receive from you all the things that you have given to us. But we need to receive and accept in Jesus' name. By what he did. By changing and repenting and take steps according to your truth and not according to our feelings, our flesh, and the things that are contrary to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.